Christian, greetings in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord as well. Glad to be here. See what the Lord has for all of us. You want this on? We're down right down there with you, and we'll seek the Lord together. We want to go higher, and like Aidan said, will we change something in our lives if God touches it? That's the question. That's a million-dollar question. We didn't come here to play games. We don't come here to put in time. We come here to meet the Lord. And we come here to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. A few serious days, God in His days gone by has moved mightily in hearts and lives of communities, hearts and lives of men and women. He's brought revival, and I would encourage all of us this week to slow down a little bit at work. Focus on the Lord Jesus. Spend a little extra time in prayer, reading His Word and drawing nigh to God, because we have that promise: if we draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to us. It tells us that in James chapter 4. And if we go continually wide open this week, I'm not sure we're going to get out of it as much as what we possibly can. 2 Thessalonians 3 tells us, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." And that be our prayer here tonight. And that it be our request. And we thank you for our praying already. And we pray, and we, our request would be that you continue to pray. Because God is a God that does exceedingly abundantly above what we are even able to ask or think. And the sky's the limit this week. Where is He going to take us, and what can He do in the community we are in here? Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 19 for a scripture reading. Here this evening. Verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Father in heaven, we have read your word. Lord, the powerful word of God. Father, that is sharp and quick. And Lord, it goes to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And Lord, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Lord, we lean on your word. We pray that you would anoint your word. And Father, we pray that you would make it real to each one of our lives. And Father, we pray that you would have mercy upon us. Father, we stand here just mere people. And there's nothing, God, in us. So we are dependent, Lord, upon your Holy Spirit. We're dependent, Lord, upon you to wing these things, these words into our hearts. And we pray that you would do that here this evening. We also pray for each one of us, God, that it would be mixed with faith, the word. And Lord, it would be effective in our lives. There are times when we read the word and it has no effect because we don't read it in faith or hear it in faith. So Father, we pray, us listeners, all of us, God, as we hear the word, that we can mix it with faith, and Lord, it would be real and something, Father, that works in each one of our hearts. We trust you for this here this evening. We commit this evening into your hands. We commit this week into your hands. We pray that you would have mercy upon us in the name of Jesus. And Lord, while on others you are calling, don't pass us by. Savior, Savior, hear our humble cry. Oh Lord, we pray for this evening. We pray that you would have your way. Like we already was prayed, you are the potter. We're the clay. Mold us and shape us after thy will. While we are waiting, yield it and steal. Still, Father, we commit this evening into your hands in the name of Jesus. Amen. Eight things here tonight out of this chapter that I don't know what you believe revival is. I don't know what your definition of revival is. You ask different people what their definition of revival is, you're going to get different answers. But here this evening, this is what I call Bible revival. And that is the title of the message. It tells us here there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, chief of the priests, who thought they were somebody. And they were nobodies. And they went out and tried to cast out a devil. And the devil didn't even know. He knew Paul, he knew Jesus, but he didn't know these seven men. And the demon overcame them and they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And here, we have a verse just shortly that's talking about these men. And it's something that could happen to each one of us. And maybe sometimes it happens. And nothing, our lives aren't changed and we aren't growing because we're like these seven sons of Sceva. Seven things here that will happen, eight things actually, when revival comes. Number one, turn into verse 17, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. That's number one. When God comes, there will be a fear of God. And today, that is probably one of the things that is driving this nation far away from God, is there's no fear of God anymore. What is fear? It is reverence. It is to revere. It is to be exceedingly careful with our lives, because we know that what God said, it's settled already. And here, that's what's missing these days. Let's look at a couple verses. Romans 11:20. In Romans 11, chapter 11, verse 20, talking here about the children of Israel, it tells us, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. The Jews were cut off because of unbelief. Because they were cut off, we've been grafted in. Now don't stand and be high-minded, but fear. And that's exactly what the sons of Sceva here. There was no fear of God before their eyes. They were all, they had a high-minded view of themselves, and they thought they can cast them demons out. And that's why the Word of God didn't have an effect, because there was no fear. They were high-minded instead. Proverbs 3, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. We have this verse, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't be wise in your own eyes. It tells us in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And here this evening, because there's no fear, is why people don't depart from evil. And we need the fear of God in our lives. That holy fear. God is a consuming fire, it tells us in Hebrews, and it's real. Proverbs 8:13, another verse here. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So here this evening, if there is evil, if there's pride, if there's arrogancy, if there's an evil way, and if there's a froward mouth, there's no fear in your life, because if the fear of God is there, then those things go. Because the fear of God hates those things. And here, this evening, in Ephesus, when God came, fear settled down upon that community. And one of the things that was working mightily was they were hating evil, they were hating pride, and they were hating arrogancy. Because the fear of God was there instead. And that's how it will be for each one of us. If the fear of God comes, this thing's got to go. Because they can't mix. They can't live together. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 3, 18. It tells us here, what then, in verse 9, are we better than they? Known in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. That's all of us here tonight. There is, as it is written, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. So I don't, and a lot of us here, we've met the Lord. We've known that what all we've tried to do to make ourselves righteous, it didn't produce. So we committed our lives to Jesus, and we accepted this verse, that we are not righteous. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And we see here that when people, out of their mouth is coming cursing, out of their mouth is coming bitterness, out of their mouth is coming gossip, there's no fear of God before their eyes. The way of peace have they not known. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Friend, this evening, we need a fear of God in our lives, and that's what America needs. We've been a couple weeks ago up there in Vermont, where the Ken Miller case is going on, and there's coming to the place where they're calling evil good and good evil. And they're trying to make it accepted that same-sex marriages, there's nothing wrong. What is going on? There's no fear of God before their eyes no more. Just got an email here the other week talking of over in Hawaii. Someone that is was totally worldly, totally out in the world. They met the Lord Jesus. They're starting to follow His Word, and it's having an effect on their lives. And they're changing. And they're starting to take the Bible for what it says and start to do it. And now the social services are coming after them and are maybe threatening to take their children. These things are coming. These things are happening. These things are starting to be in our day and age. Why? Because there's no fear of God before their eyes. And it's serious. The fear of God is falling in the streets. And we need that holy fear in our own lives. Acts 10, verse 35. Thank the Lord for this. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Praise the Lord. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Praise the Lord. Anyone in here tonight, God is no respecter of persons. He looks at each one of us the same. There's not someone sitting in here with a coat of many colors. We're all, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Glory, hallelujah for that. And if you respond to the Spirit's wooing, you respond to the call of God, you respond to His Word, He will accept. In every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for that. Our tendency is, because evil is all around us, our tendency is to start getting used to sin. Our tendency is to start getting used to the debauchery that's going on in our guards start dropping down and the fear of God starts falling, and soon we are accepting. And it's a terrible thing. God help each one of us. 2 Samuel 23. God help each one of us to cultivate the fear of God. And when God comes, there is a fear. Not an unrighteous fear that comes after us with a spick stick. That's not what we're talking about here. It's a fear that's driven by love. That's what the fear is. Verse 20, chapter 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel, speak to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. We'll leave that verse, sit right there, and be on our hearts till sometime later this week. But there's a fear of God that needs to be alive and healthy and well in each one of our lives. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 29. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 29. Talking here about Jehoshaphat, and we don't have time to how he invaded the Moabites and how they overthrew the enemies. They overthrew the Moabites. We don't have time to go into the story, but here in 29 it comes to this verse. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. Dear Lord, is that happening because I'm alive? Is that happening because you're alive? Because you're the fear of God and God is fighting for you, the fear of God is coming upon others because they see God is alive and well in your life. In my life. God help us. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Praise the Lord for the Word of God. Talking again here about 2 Corinthians 6. Does Christ have concord with Belial? How does unrighteousness have fellowship with righteousness? How can unbelievers be yoked together with believers? Then he tells us in to be separate in verse 17, and he tells us in 2 Corinthians 7, 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And that's what will be happening here this week. We are perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit in the fear of God. And that's what we want, to be alive and well. Proverbs 29:25. Too many times we operate under this fear instead. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. And too many times we're operating under that fear instead of the fear of God. And what we need tonight is the fear of God, and that's what they had there in Ephesus. In Luke 12, 1-5, Luke chapter 12, 1-5, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an insurmountable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear and closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him, which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. The devil has that power. Don't mess with sin. Don't mess with the devil. Fear him. Now that's where you need the terror. That's where you need to be exceedingly afraid. That's where you need the fear. Not the reverential fear that we were talking about for the Lord, but here we need that fear. And that's real. The devil is real. The world is real. Our flesh is real. And we have to fear those things. In Psalms 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And here, I don't know what the Lord will take us to that this week or not. But fearful people will be barred from heaven. And there's a fear that is wrong. And there's a fear that is unhealthy. And there's a fear that is actually sin. But the fear of God is real. It's genuine. It will move us to action. And it will produce holiness in our lives. And when we are trusting in the Lord the way we're supposed to be, we have no fear. Esther 8, verse 17, and then we'll go on. Esther 8, verse 17. Again, in every province, in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day, and many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Oh, Lord. Lord, do it again. Verse 2 in chapter 9, the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay a hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people. I think we got it mixed up these days. Instead of the fear of God, and people have a desire for this to happen, people have a desire for this to be moving and working, what do? They manufacture something else. Got to have entertainment. Got to have all kinds of other things to draw people in instead of the Holy Ghost. Instead of changed lives. Instead of transformed lives. Instead of lives that are being cleaned up and being set apart for the Lord. That's what was happening with the Jews. There wasn't all kinds of... they weren't having all kinds of programs and this type of thing and trying to say all kinds of things to win the Muslims. No! They had a fear of God in their lives. And through that, people also come under that and they wanted to be a Jew. Because of the fear of God. Lord, do it again. Just a couple verses here in Proverbs. Proverbs 16, verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Not getting involved in government. It's not going to change the world to get involved in government. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Proverbs 24, verse 21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Now it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that we are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The change he's talking about here is not that change. The change he's talking about here is the drift that's going on in the people of God. And here tonight, their fear of God is waning, it is falling, and that's why there's drift. My dear people, it's a serious thing. Psalms 19 verse 9. The fear of God is falling. Verse 9 in Psalms 19 tells us, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now let's go to the second point here in Acts 19. Acts 19, fear fell on them all, number one. Number two, the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Praise the Lord. That will happen when God comes. When there is revival, the name of the Lord Jesus will be magnified. What does magnify mean? We know when we were young in school, we could take a magnifying glass, and even today it's fun to do sometimes. We have this little bug, and we take this magnifying glass up to it so we can check out its intricate parts, its little antennas, and all its fuzz on its feet. You can't see it with the naked eye, but when you put a magnifying glass up there, you can see it. And it tells us here that the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. It was exalted. It was something that put the magnifying glass on and people were drawn. Jesus said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. It wasn't a program. It wasn't some person. It was Jesus. Praise the Lord. And that's what will happen when God comes. In Psalms chapter 40 verse 3 again. Dear ones, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. What was going on? Jesus Christ was being magnified. And that's exactly what happens when God comes. When somebody was in a pit and they get pulled out, they were in the miry clay, they were spinning their wheels, they were going their own way, and they get set up on a rock and their goings get established and they didn't have a song and now they have a song. You know what it is to go up to someone and you start talking about Jesus. And the words you get back are just hollow. There's no one at home. But when they meet the Lord, it connects. Your spirits connect. Because, and that's that new song, that He puts in our mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it, and then fear comes. But also Jesus Christ is magnified. Hallelujah. Change lives. Magnify Christ. Lives that are being transformed. Magnify His holy names. Lives that were stuck and get pulled out and set on a solid rock. Lives like that magnify Christ. What happens in the New Testament? Many times it says when Jesus healed someone, He couldn't enter back into the city because of the he was magnified, and that's what happens. Just glory and honor to our Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 5 verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What's he talking about here? But the Beatitudes. Being poor in spirit. You can concoct that. But it's going to be empty and hollow if you're doing it in the flesh. If you're meek. What's meekness? Being able to, when you're falsely accused, taking it patiently. Or Moses, the meekest man on earth, being able to, when God was going to wipe him out, he stood in the gap and said, "No, no, don't, Lord. Don't. If you take them out, take me alone." Meekness tells us Moses was the meekest man on earth. And when we don't respond in the flesh to some of these things, that's letting your light shine before men that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. You're going to have to nurture that, or it's going to fall away from you. That's not going to come automatically. To nurture, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, you're not going to just... That's something that don't fall from the sky. That's something you have to nurture. That's something you have to maintain. That's something you have to do. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And being merciful. Again, there's times when things are happening and we just merciful. Nope, we want to throw the axe. We want to... Nope. The Bible says, be merciful. And then pure in heart. And I don't know, throughout the week, some of these things, where all the Lord will take us. And we might go deeper in some of these things. But pure in heart. You can, again, work that up in the flesh. But when God comes, He'll make it that you can be pure in heart and then be a peacemaker. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Glory, let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. It magnifies Jesus Christ when you let Him have His way in your life. Acts chapter 4 verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can people say that about you? Sister? Brother? Can people say that about you? They took knowledge. They saw how you were responding, how you were acting. You were with Jesus. That's not just something that's put there to take up space in the Word. That's something that God wants to be happening in each one of our lives also. And then also over in verse 30, by stretching forth thine hand, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they speak the Word of God with boldness. That's an open plainness. That's what that word boldness means. And hey, like I said at the beginning, I'm right down here with you. My life does not... When I hold it up against the mirror of the Word, I'm not here. But God, I believe He wants to take us here. And may the Lord have His way in each one of our lives. This week, that these things could be real and moving, and there could be revival and not just meetings. Oh, Father. Now go back to Acts 19 again. Third point. Says, fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many that believed came. People will believe. People will believe. That is to have a firm persuasion of anything. No more doubt. Especially in the Scriptures. It means to believe in God. In John 14 it tells us, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. to believe on, to trust in, to place full confidence in, to rest upon with faith. That's what believe means. And here this evening, if you struggle with assurance of salvation, God wants to bring you to rest. God wants to bring you to peace. God wants to bring you to a settledness and a stability and a strength because you believe. And here in Acts, they believed. And it tells us in John 1, to them that believe, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And here this evening, believing. And you know what? It's the word believe here is a word that's a little bit more than the one in James chapter 2. It tells us in James chapter 2 that the devils also believe and tremble. But it's not a believing that moves to action. It's a believing that makes them tremble instead, and they shake in their shoes because they don't want to respond to the Word of God. But the believing here that it's talking about is it moves them to action. And we'll see that here a little bit later what the action was. Ephesians 1:19. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power. Hallelujah! Let it be effective. It's the Word of God that way in your life. Jesus Christ. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power. Oh, brother, sister, friend, neighbor, the sky's the limit. We don't have to wallow around. But the power of God wants to let His exceeding power work through us. If we believe. Tells us in verse 29 of Hebrews 10. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Somebody that's not believing. My dear friend, don't do despite to the Spirit of grace. And be faithful. Believing people are faithful. And provoke one another to love and good works. Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, thou shalt be that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Friend, here this evening, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Are you saved? Are you a Christian? Are you converted? Are you washed in the blood? Can you say tonight, if I die, I'll go to heaven? Because I have been converted. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for me. I believe. Have you made that decision? Have you accepted that call? The ball's in your court, my friend. And here in Ephesians, when God came, glory, hallelujah, they believed. Each one of us must believe. Now, what happened? These people here at Ephesus, fear fell on them. The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. They believed. Then what does it tell us? They confessed. Praise the Lord. I believe for myself. That's why I never got converted. That's why the Spirit never made connection. Because I was not willing to open my life and confess. I was not willing to share. I was not willing to be real. I was not willing to say, this is who I am, as wretched and dirty as I was. When I was willing to do that, when I was willing to open my heart, God came. And He met me and saved my soul and put a new song in my heart. He will do the same for you. But when you believe, then if God is speaking to your heart, confess. What does that mean? It means to own up. It means to acknowledge. It means that I'm guilty. That's what it means. I got these wretched sins down inside of here that I never ever told anybody about. And they're still sitting in there tonight and they're keeping me back from going forward and being a Christian and getting even converted and getting saved. And it's confessing. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Dear friend, confession. It's not an ugly word. Yes, things that you say might be ugly, but the joy that comes and the peace that comes afterwards. If you have a besetting sin, I can pretty well guarantee you why you have a besetting sin. Why you're not getting victory. You're not confessing. You're not opening your heart. Other people can't pray for you because you are not being real. You're not being genuine and you're not confessing. Psalm 32, a blessed chapter here of one who opened their hearts. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. Hallelujah. How does that happen? They confessed. They opened their heart. They shared. They got this out. They got it out there and showed everybody what was going on. There was no hypocrisy. Verse 3, what happened to the one that stuffed it in? Shut up. Wouldn't tell anybody. When I kept silence, my bone waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer Selah. May the Lord do that for you here this evening and this week. If there are things that are in your heart that you're not wanting to open up and share. That your moisture would be drawn up. That your bones would wax old through your roaring. The conviction of the Holy Ghost. That's what that is. May that be happening. And God's hand be heavy.